welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss YNR's 10,000 episode, General Hospital's Liz gets her hands on DNA results, Katie gives birth on B&B, is Lucas really okay with Will being gay on Days, and did I mention Eric Braden joined Twitter? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Reagan, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
What up?
And Melody, welcome.
Hey, hey.
You got that?
Well, Jillian, you were chuckling at the fact that Eric Braden joined Twitter. What are your thoughts on his joining the Twitterverse?
Well, I didn't think he would do it because, you know, Eric is always above the fray. But, you know, I got these messages. They're like, you know, Eric Braden's on Twitter. I'm like... Yeah, the fake Eric Braden, because, you know, for some reason, people like to do that, and I think that's so lame, but Melody Thomas Scott was like, he's on Twitter, and I'm like, and I just tweeted, I'm like, Eric on Twitter is going to be jokes, I'm like, it's going to be fun, and less than 24 hours later, he sure did prove me right, I'm like, shit, I need to take Eric to Vegas.
Jamie, what were your thoughts? He tweeted about whether or not stars who have been on the show for a limited length of time should be commenting on storyline. Some wondered if it was a jab at Michael Muni.
Oh, shame.
Who wasn't it, Luke? Who wasn't it? Who in South America really had to wonder if he was
about... Well, the headline on DC, and I quote, was, did he throw shade at?
Well,
so it's
because we're good journalists, because he didn't say Michael Muni's name, but Michael Muni had tweeted previously about the storyline of Victor being presumed dead for the 55 millionth time. Now I'm paraphrasing because he didn't say that. Basically being insulting to the fans and to the actors and all that, which I agree with. And Eric, basically, shortly after his hello, I'm a Twitter tweet, you know, it was, which led me to believe, I'm like, look, Eric joined Twitter ready for a brawl. Look, he is ready to head, but Eric's like, he itching for a fight, you know. Because when you come on Twitter and start, you know, unloading gunshots, figuratively, to, you know, boom, boom, you're like, now he came up here to fight. Eric is like, oh, there's a new platform where I cannot come on and say, got that? No, no, no. You know, so he was like, I'm finna come on here and wreck shop. But, you know, you saw what I wrote on DC. Will somebody tell Eric to be quiet? I guess ain't nobody listening to me, because I have more avenues to bluster off. And you know,
he's going to teach you after this podcast. What did you say? I need to shut the fuck up.
You know, my thing about it is, you know, Eric Braden is an icon. He's a star. A huge star for that show. But it's time. I mean... You didn't have Douglas Watson on Another World still sleeping with a bunch of... Well, he never really slept with a bunch of women. But, you know, you just don't... It's time. It's time for a passing of the guard in certain ways. You know, that 10,000th episode was silly. It was ridiculous that none of them would have ever thought to go, maybe we should wait a little. Maybe we should wait a week or two before we really start, you know... falling all out and wearing sackcloth, since he kind of does this a lot. You know, it's just a situation where, I mean, I totally understand. And, you know, I cannot sit up here and diss what Eric said, because we tend to be that way about people who have a shorter tenure on the show. We'll say, oh, why is this young buck talking, you know, when Kevin Smith talks out? So I guess that's where Eric is coming from. But I guess where Michael is coming from in the last 3 years, he's driven a lot of story on that show, and he's definitely invested in it. I guess I'm contradicting myself, because, yeah, I have had those thoughts when little Kevin Smith will be talking or some other younger person. But, you know, I see both sides. You know, Eric has this lengthy tenure, but I feel there have been times when his speaking out is inappropriate, because at the end of the day, Sony Television owns that show. So it could be construed as inappropriate when any of the actors speak out against the show. on Twitter. So, you know, I mean, it's like, but my community is like, I cash my check here just like you, Eric. So if I want to say something, I will. All I know is I thank them both because it provides us with plenty of fodder and hits. So thank you.
Mel, you live blogged the 10,000th episode on DC for YNR. What were your thoughts on the episode?
Honestly, I was pretty disappointed in the episode. I feel like if you're going to have a big 10,000 episode and make a big deal about it, at least can we get some flashbacks from the 10,000 episodes that we've seen? Like, I understand that the story's going on, it's focusing on Victor. He's been a major part of the show for the past 30 years. Okay, that's fine. But I feel like he didn't do all them episodes by himself. So it should be more of an ensemble story to celebrate the show being on for so many odd years.
Mm-hmm. Preach, Mel. See, you know, that's my problem with it too, Luke, because we're doing a post this week. We've been working on it, but we'll let everybody know on Twitter. There's going to be a post on DC that's basically going to be 10 great YNR moments, colon, or bracket, that weren't about Victor Newman, because it's the 10,000th episode. K versus Jill.
K's face left.
I mean, none of that was me. It was just a big masturbation party for Eric Braden. Again, it's like, Maria, we get it. And the thing of it is, I guess I'll praise Maria for this, because when we started this podcast, we talked about how this industry did not honor its vets. We get it. Maria, you honor Eric Braden enough. I mean, look, Jeannie Cooper is like, I've been on this show since 12 episodes in, or however long, the first season, and Kay is, every line was Victor Newman, Victor Newman, Victor Newman, Victor Newman. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Kay, what I found interesting is that the 10,000th episode kept flashing back to Kay's recent believed to be dead storyline and her funeral, and it was like, this isn't any different than Kay's. Well,
Jillian, what did you think about your girl? I have to ask, because your girl brought it home for me.
Yes, she did. She brought it home, and she was like, "Bitch, it may be about Eric, but I'm still in this mug." You know, look, I understand Maria wanted to give him a tribute, but wouldn't that have been better when it was, I don't know, his 30th or 35th anniversary on that show? If it is the 10,000 episode, it should be, you know, an ensemble. It should have been all about all of them. Like, you know, we all crapped on Lin-Marie, but when it was YNR's 25th, didn't she make it all about them on that show?
I don't think, she wasn't there for 25 was what? That was 15 years ago. She wasn't there 15 years ago.
No, not 25, my bad. I think it was their 30th anniversary or something like that. It was some anniversary she did there where she made it all about them. I don't understand why it had to be the Eric Braden show. I mean, it was like wash, rinse, and, you know, repeat. It was too much. It was not even too much. It was too much. But
Mel,
bring it on now.
Mel, after Victor threw Sharon out, she ended up back at her home and
on the damn Newman property.
Shortly thereafter, her mama arrived. And when Sharon's mama arrives in Genoa City, you know things have gone bad. What were your thoughts on what's happened with Sharon?
Gotta roll Doris down the hill. Get out of here, Doris.
I like Doris. No, I don't like that.
She should have been there when that girl was screwing Adam.
She did. Doris commented on all of that. Doris threw her under the bus, told her she was trash.
Yep. Sharon should have rolled her by that boulder.
Sharon, she played it so cocky, just so smug the whole way through everything. Victor showed them, she was like, I was expecting this. Oh, pack my bags, okay, I was expecting this. And I'm like, what grand plan do you think you have in your head that you're going to get away with all this? Because clearly it's not going to work.
Jamie, speaking of Sharon, the topic of Sharon sort of turned into a real-life dust-up on post the talk and on Twitter between Joshua Morrow and Michelle Stafford. What did you think of how that all transpired?
If you want my truthful answer, I think it's pathetic. I do, and I am, you know, there's always been this, especially since we did the Victoria Ryle podcast that revealed all that beef about them. You know, a lot of the readers have been like, well, what do you think about Michelle Stafford? I'm like, I love Phyllis. I love Phyllis like I love Drew. You know, I have no I have no dog in that fight. That ain't my business. We just reported on it. But I've always been a fan of Phyllis. She's one of my favorite Y&R characters, just like Drew was. And I like Michelle Stafford. She's one of the coolest people in the on the red carpet. You know, she's real laid back.
Yeah,
funny,
man.
You
hey,
know,
man.
Exactly. Hey, man.
But dude,
I thought that mess was passive aggressive and a little off.
Immature. You know?
I was like, come on now, these are fictional TV characters, and she can take it back. This what they these people have got to take a class in Twitter. You cannot take it back, you know. And then basically, you know, tweeted, "Well, I hope that Joshua Morrow gets to have the storyline that he wants." You know, that was like a bitter wife, like, "Oh, you want her? I wanted to hear some Gerald Levert music playing." You know. I don't think you. You know, I'm like,
no, I was waiting for Kelly Price. You know?
Ooh. Like, it was a bit much. And, you know, she said she was like, oh, no, that didn't offend me. But why are you retweeting everything that fans are saying, going, well, why don't you speak up for Ronan? I mean, come on now. It's just, that's silliness. But I do know that those actors are very territorial over their, because they know that. They see how fan bases have basically ruled.
Hijacked.
Yeah, have hijacked the soap game. So you're only as good as your fan base these days, you know, which is hilarious to me because Erica Kane never would have been a superstar because it was never about Erica and no man. It was always about Erica Kane.
But it's it's funny because this is, I'm like, you know, they're all about these fan bases and these fan wars. I'm like, the right chick in charge at Y&R came at the right time because Jill don't give a good damn about no fan base. Trust. She will bust that thing up.
I just thought it was silly. And Josh is all, I heard a good friend today. And then Michelle is all, what? You know, making it like, you know, I didn't say that. You know, that now, if I was him, I'd have been like, now look, damn it. You got your feelings hurt. Now they tried to apologize. Now you acting like you wasn't mad. You know you was mad. Quit acting crazy.
I've got the text messages or the voicemails to prove it.
he did the same thing a few years ago when he revealed in an interview that he liked playing with Phyllis more than, you know, he said that hurt Sharon's feelings. I'm like, if I'm kidding my chick, if Luke was to come on Twitter and say, I really like podcasting with Reagan more than I do JB, long as my check still cash at the end, I'm going to say, whoopity, woo, 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 let's keep it rocking. You know?
Well, that's true, though. I mean,
like, you know, what the hell? Cash your check and go to the house is what I advise.
Jamie, I want to follow up real briefly on one thing before we move on to General Hospital. Last week on the podcast, we were talking about Drusilla and how she was sure being mentioned a lot. And you said, well, when you pointed out that soap fans know when someone starts getting mentioned a lot, something could be in the works. So my question to you then is this week, we sure had a lot of mention of Sheila. What are your thoughts on that, if using that same theory?
Well, Sheila might be the exception to the rule because I know that the last couple of times that they wanted to bring her back, she proved too expensive, allegedly. That's what I was told. Mm. That's why we got that retarded
Phyllis.
So long sister killer story.
And Phyllis face off.
And
yeah.
Both of those times, they really wanted Kimberlyn. Well, no, Kimberlyn did come back for that Phyllis thing because remember they showed Sheila. Kimberlyn came back like briefly because they had her in that nut house. But my thing of it is, I wish Kimberlyn would lower her asking price if that's still the thing and come on back. But really, I'm gonna be honest. No, I hope that Josh just wraps that up. That this is just a red herring and that he gets this show back on a solid, sturdy, realistic slant for a minute. Because Maria, whereas Bill Bell used to have a great psycho. At one any given time, you know, he would have the dude that put Lauren in the ground. Then he would have, you know, David Kimball. And they went crazy over a course of time. Then Sheila, then Phyllis, then Michael Baldwin. You know, Maria has spent her crazy load on this show. Adam was crazy. I mean, let's not forget Adam. You know, Adam was running around in a purple dress, mopping up people's afterbirth and stuff.
Patty,
you know, just
Kevin
slapped the fool. Well, Kevin didn't go crazy under. Well, yeah, he did. You know, she turned him into a chipmunk. So, I mean, it's just too much. It's Y&R has, I mean, no, we need to just, it needs to be sane and seemly, folks, in Genoa City for a while because That's the last thing they need is a psycho back, because you can't distinguish from the canvas.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, Kimberlyn's like, look, if y'all could give Jeannie Francis the sun, moon, and the stars, why y'all can't give me the stars and the moon and the sun?
Well, because unfortunately, and I love Kimberlyn, but Jeannie can still get on Hallmark, and Kimberlyn is doing web series. You know, Jeannie can still get on Oprah. So, you know, I mean, you know, Jeannie can still get written about in People, you know, if she sells some applesauce or something.
Or the weight loss thing, you know.
Anything, you know. Reagan,
I want to go to you on General Hospital, because there was a lot of talk this week on the blog amongst our readers about Liz and the DNA test for Sam and Jason's baby.
Oh, there's a lot of talk on the blog, on Twitter, with a certain writer.
As a Liz fan, is this out of character for Liz? Or do you find it offensive about Liz? Or are you perfectly happy with it for Liz?
I don't know where these people are coming from, because this girl came on as a little conniver, first of all.
Wait. Say that again. Say that again. She's a She is a what fan, Luke? What is she? Say it, Luke.
Liaison.
Well, I'm a Liz fan first.
Say it again, Reagan. You're a what fan?
I am a Liz fan.
I don't know what you're going to say.
There is no liaison anymore because he is gone. So
on a V-ing it up, girl. Get it
he checked out the other day. So I am a Liz fan. I've always been a Liz fan. This girl came on manipulating shit, manipulating her sister, manipulating lying to her grandmother. She came on as a little manipulator.
Smoking.
Oh, yes. Smoking with her little heavy makeup. So I get characters evolve, and sometimes they evolve into the nice little Liz that we've all gotten to see. I understand that some of these fans may be a little upset about what they deem out of character, but even if she was Miss Nicey-Nicey-Nice, why can't she throw a little wrench in the plan? What's the big deal?
Mel, as a new viewer, what do you think of Nicey-Nice Elizabeth doing this?
Since I started watching, I have always been a Liz fan. I just liked her. I felt like she's very relatable. So this week, when she switched up some DNA, I was all about it. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes characters need a little change, or in this case, need to go back to their roots. I was all about it. I'm like, switch it up, girl. You want your man? Do what you gotta do to get him. What you gotta do.
She is desperate. She feels like she is finally on the same page with Jason, that maybe they finally have a chance, even after all the shit they've been through. After the kid dying, they're finally on the same page, and he is still telling her no. This honey is desperate. She's doing what she gotta do.
Jillian, what are your thoughts on it as a Sam fan?
Okay, let me just talk as a fan of the show, period. You know, it just makes me cackle, because when Sam was doing this, when she had some thugs come after Liz, all the Sam fans was, this ain't Sam, this ain't how she do. I'm like, Sam came on as a grifter. So, you know, when Liz does it, this is totally out of character. I'm like, child, please. You know, I had some little Liz fans trying to come at me, and I'm like, they try, you know me, I'm a one-man band. I don't need backup. So I'm like, give me a break with all this when you chiming in with your friend and your sister and all that. But I digress. I'm like, this is what she used to be. Liz didn't have anything to do but just be nosy and hold her hand and talk about her 50,000 kids under goose. I'm like, Ron is giving her something to do. Either you want her to do something or you don't want her to do something. Y'all were mad that this girl was a doorstop under Guza. Now she's getting back to her bitchy ways and throwing down. She's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm tired of, you know, getting the short end of the stick. I want my man. This girl don't want him no more, so stop pushing the issue, fool. She wants a man. I'm not mad at that. It goes back to the whole, someone was like, well, why are you mad that Sharon does it on Y&R? Sharon never would have done this on Y&R. Sharon, if Victor was dead for the umpteenth time, you know, when Nick and everybody else wrote Victor off, Sharon was still like, y'all can't write him off. Victor's still alive. Or if Nick was mad at his dad, Sharon used to be there. Don't you be mad at your daddy, boy. Like, That's Sharon's true pathos. Liz came on as a hustler. Well, not as a hustler. Liz came on as a scheming minx. She's going back to that. She's like, I'm tired of being alone, being someone's doorstop. I'm going to get my man. So it's like, grow up, people. It's a character. Jesus Christ. They act as though that Ron said Rebecca Herbst ran around and stole some DNA test. I'm like, Jesus. It's ridiculous.
Jamie, do you think that her actions undermine the liaison of old in the fact that she would do such a thing for him?
No, this is the way I look at it. This is classic soap opera triangle. There's always someone scheming. I mean, my Brooke Logan wouldn't tell Ridge that Thomas was his boy, and she knew and mm-hmm. went on and married him. I mean, on Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, this is classic soap opera. Nikki Newman had put her own little girl up to try to break up Victor and Ashley by poisoning Nick by poisoning little Victoria's mind against Ashley. I mean,
She knew the sperm baby was Victor's and didn't say nothing about
it. I mean, this is classic soap opera to me. I feel like, you know, Liz is in that hospital. She got her hands on that DNA test. She had a momentary lapse of judgment. This is my thing. It's like, I think liaison fans should be thanking Ron Carlovati because of the fact that this is not a rumor, it was a mandate from Brian Franz, not only to break them up, but to kill that child and to separate that pairing and act like it never happened. It was never, after they killed Jake, it was donezo. You know, one of the first things Ron did for Liz is to put her back in Jason's orbit. Had Steve Burton stayed with the show, they were going to do a long-term triangle with McBain, Sam, Liz, and Jason. It wasn't going to end like this. Things changed. Steve Burton is leaving. They have to wrap up the story. The baby wasn't going to be given back this quickly. Things had to change when Steve Burton said, I'm leaving. So that meant, okay, we have to get this couple their baby back. And, you know, there's not going to get to be a liaison redux, but there was supposed to be. I think everything that was threaded showed that there was going to be. So when I get these comments like, what are your thoughts on, you know, Ron Carlovati throwing Liz under a bus? I'm like, where is the bus? She wasn't getting anything to do with the previous regime. I was much more upset and thought it was much more out of character when she screwed Nicholas.
Oh, yes.
That's when
Thank
I felt
you.
She was out of character. And when she was pretending to be mentally ill to keep Lucky, to me, those things were out of character. She wants Jason. She realizes the great revelation that I gave up Jason because I thought it would keep Jake safe. And damn it, Jake died anyway because Lucky's drunk-ass granddaddy ran him over. So, I mean, daddy.
Daddy.
Ran him.
So, you mean daddy. You mean daddy.
Yeah. His drunk daddy ran the baby over. So all of them, look, all Sonny's kids, they might get a bomb at the birthday party, a shot in the head, but they make it to adulthood. So I guess she's like, look, my baby could have grown up just fine with Jason as a daddy. And now, look, I don't even have no babies with him, so I'll just take the risk on Cam and the other one because I want that dick again. And,
and Sam, I'm going to get it.
And the thing of it is, Sam is not
– she's moving on.
Yeah, Sam is not sitting up pining over – well, yes, she's pining now. But if you notice, she's pining more because they're having to get ready for the end game. Because a week or so ago, you know, before we found out Burton was leaving, or not a week or so, that's been a while now, Sam.
But they stayed far enough out where, yeah.
But my point is, Sam was perfectly happy to be making goo eyes at McBain. Now, the road has shifted back to her focus on Jason because Steve is leaving. That caused the story to have to change. So, and I'm glad, my thing of it is, bad girls get much more play in daytime than good girls.
You see, Allison Sweeney says that she's always like, I love to be a bad girl. But she changed it up now. I'm like, she changed it up now.
What I've heard behind the scenes, I heard Allison has been instrumental in them making Sammy into a heroine, but I digress.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I feel that it is perfectly in character. I'm not one of those. Some of my favorite, and I don't like this D deifying of soap characters to where it's like, and when I get these, I'm like, do you really watch a soap opera for one character? If I really only watched and stuck with the show because of my character being done right, I would have left, you know, the moment Eileen Davidson left that Y&R back in the 80s, I'd have stopped watching. I'd have been like, no! You know, I hate this hijacking of shows or this thought that you can hijack a show because of one character. To me, when you try to blackmail or hijack somebody, I mean, I don't even really like to respond to those questions on Twitter, because my thing of it is, if you're going to say some leading statement like, why should I still watch? Well, don't watch then. You know,
that's what I said.
Watch. I mean, one monkey ain't going to stop no show. But I'm judging this on the fact of General Hospital, the series, is much more enjoyable and watchable. Would I have rather? Yes, I would rather Liaison be the lead story. I feel that Jason and Liz have way more chemistry, way more potential, way more everything than Sam and Jason ever have. But the powers that be, and it's not just Ron and Frank, believe that Jason and Sam are the end game, money shot, whatever. And it's pretty much been that way for years. I don't know if it's because Kelly Monaco is known more outside of daytime or the focus group's data. I don't know. I feel personally that Jason and Liz are more the dynamic couple. I think there's much more of a story there for, you know, the single mom and the mobster. And, you know, I think there's more of a conflict because for me, Jason and Sam are so much alike that it's boring. It's like they think just alike. They act just alike. There's never any conflict about what Jason does. I like angst and conflict. But at the end of the day, if I don't get my way, I am not watching anymore.
I think Mel hit it on the head with where it comes for me for Elizabeth and Jason. I think Elizabeth and Jason are the more relatable couple. I think as a viewer, they're more, to me, I could see them being like a real couple. Something for Jason and Sam, I don't believe that the Bonnie and Clyde couple exist unless they're going to jail. So,
Reagan, I have...
Well, I'm just... hey, we all have our opinions, and we all have...
Reagan, I have a question. Jamie sort of set it up, and then I have a follow-up that's unrelated. Steve Burton, Kristen Alderson went and tweeted a picture of his last day. I have to ask, did you get out a candle and do a seance or anything like that? And then secondly,
why she gotta do a seance?
Well, Jason might as well be for her. And then my next question is, because I know you've watched this movie, did Magic Milo live up to Magic Mike? So there you go. Two questions for you.
I thought it was very sweet that they all donned the jeans and black t-shirt. That was a cute little send-off. Magic Milo was hysterical. Kudos to Ron for writing that, or whoever wrote it, I don't know, but whoever's idea that was genius. And I loved Lulu and Maxie in the background, sort of.
Oh, that's a front touch.
Oh, wait a minute. I am offended for Ron Moss because I want to know why all of the Bold and the Beautiful cast did not wear scarves.
Scarves!
Mel, what did you think of the Connie, Kate, Milo bachelorette party?
Okay, the party was cute and funny. I did like Lulu at Max's show giving Milo some moves in the background. But I don't know about everybody else, but I wish Connie/Kate would just die. I hate it so much, and everybody on my Twitter timeline loves it. And I'm like, this is stupid. I hate this. Like, just kill her.
I'm wishing
second of it. It was just unbearable to watch.
I thought it was hilarious.
I hate Connie Kate. Like I said it on Twitter. I just want Nikki, Vicky, and Gene Randolph, along with Tess, Jess, Bess, Wes, to just ride to Port Charles and just abduct this Connie Kate foolishness. I don't like it.
She gives DID a bad name after those, and that's saying something with Messica.
No, she is better than that Messica mess.
Oh, no.
No, Messica built a bomb and built a secret weren't room. Now, how she managed to do that just because she went fool in the head? No. I had a ball watching that bachelorette party. That shit was hilarious. Y'all need to lighten up because I was.
No, the bachelorette party was funny. The bachelorette party was funny. I'm still sick of Connie and Kate.
When she jumped at Milo, I rewinded that like four times. She was screaming every time. He's like, I don't think the boss will like this. And then, you know, because I was like, I don't know how that girl don't get paid stunt pay because Kelly Sullivan leaped up into the air, and I was like, when's she gonna leap on him? I mean,
I never said I didn't like the bachelorette party. I said I don't like the Connie Kate foolishness. Connie Kate need to wrap it up.
I'm sorry. I will defend this story now for this reason alone.
Which is the bachelorette party.
No, not the bachelorette party. That was good too. But also when she told that boy how he came into the world, that was a good episode. And also, when Johnny thought he was fixing to get a who's zooming who moment in on Connie by going to Todd, and then Todd and Connie teamed up on Johnny, I love soap moments like that when Johnny comes over and he's all like, you got it handled, and then he buzzes, and Connie comes in there and is like, you shouldn't have tried to get rid of me, Johnny boy. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with this right now.
I think there are good moments. I think there are really good moments for this whole storyline, but their good moments don't add up for a good storyline for me. That's my whole problem with it. I need those good moments to add up to a really good storyline, and they're just falling short. They're just not.
The exact same way I felt about Messica. At the end of the day, I wish Connie would be the lead character, the lead alter that remains.
I used to think that Connie made things way more interesting than Kate because I so hated Kelly Sullivan's Kate, but it's gotten to the point where I hate them equally as much. I cannot stand this insanity of Connie anymore. it's just terrible. It makes you say, when she was like that whole scene that you loved when she went after Trey, all I saw was someone who was heaving for air and doing hiccup laughs. It was terrible. It was bad. It was like, why am I subjecting myself to this? And then on top of it all, I keep thinking about Kate Ward. Megan Ward, and it's like every time I see this shit with Connie, it's like Megan Ward.
Megan Ward is gone. That's it.
I know she is, but that still doesn't mean that I'm not going to draw comparisons when I watch Connie hyperventilating like Halle Berry and Catwoman.
Megan Ward never did the dual role. We don't know what she would
contrast that. So that's not really. I'll take up for Kelly for that. You can't compare and contrast that since I don't know. She never did the Connie Kate thing. So if she did, I'd have been like, you have a point. But no. I get your point with the Connie thing. I mean, like, to me, it's like, I hope Ron wraps it up because you're going to shoot your load with that one, man. Like,
the weakest link. I will say that. I don't hate it as much. I definitely do feel it is the weakest link story-wise. I'll give you that. I do think that's the one he could wrap tomorrow and I wouldn't. But see, and the thing of it is, and I'll be honest, you know, I don't think any of us here are big fans of Kelly Sullivan's portrayal of Kate, but... No. Maurice Bernard loves her, and she is here to stay.
Yeah, I hate her rendition of Kate. I really, really do.
My biggest problem with her is that she will start a scene okay, and then I can just watch it get away from her. It just goes away, and then all the scenery starts fading away because she did ate the whole damn thing.
By the time it's left, all that's left is white or black.
If she would get a softer hair rinse, I would be happy.
She needs an edgier haircut.
I just need that hair. If I, you know, I'm very visual with that kind of stuff. I remember hearing stories about how Ed Scott would stop scenes to mess with people's hair if he didn't like it. And I'm that way with my soap characters. I need the hair to be on point. I'm starting to enjoy.
Her hair has never been on point. Hell, for at least 6 months, it was green.
It's just not a pretty rinse. She needs to get a softer rinse. And a cut with some layers, and I'll be fine with her.
Jillian, this past week, while Jamie was screaming at what was going on in General Hospital, Katie on B&B was screaming because she was giving birth after surviving heart problems. What are your thoughts on that storyline on B&B?
Well, she any woman who have a quiet birth is a damn fool. Sorry, Scientology, but that shit hurts from what I hear. It's crazy as hell. I don't blame her for screaming. You know, what's her face? Oh, Lord.
Heather Tom.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, baby. I'm getting Luke-itis here. Heather Tom, you know, she puts a foot in it and whatnot. You know, her yelling at Dollar Bill and all those. I bet you she was yelling because she saw all those pimp jewelry. I'm like, God, did the pimp store have a sale? Put it away. I don't mind it. I like the fact that Katie is like, you know, once again, putting someone else before herself, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this all came about because Dollar Bill, I don't understand it, why Dollar Bill is so invested in Liam's sex life. It's like, it's kind of weird. I wish the undertone would finally come up and it would be that Dollar Bill is trying to live through Liam because he wants to nail Steffi himself. That would be epic, but I digress. You know, I get where Katie's coming from. She does not want her kid to be a mini Bill Spencer in a pimp diaper. You know, he didn't get to raise Liam, so to me, Bill is just trying to, you know, overcompensate. There you go. Thank you, man.
Or live vicariously is what he's
right.
Trying
live
to
vicariously
do.
And overcompensate. He's living vicariously through Liam, and he's overcompensating for not being there for him by, you know, forcing his, you know, ideologies on this boy. And it's like, this boy ain't you, Bill. Give me a break here. Give me a break. So, and Katie sits back and she sees it all, and she's like, I'm not fitting to have my child be no pimp in training now. Get out of here. And, you know, she slung back and, you know, you saw a ghost storm, ghost dad.
Oh, see, I turned that off. I don't believe in the devil. That storm is the devil. He ain't in heaven. He ain't in heaven. He shot himself in the head. He in the head. Hell.
I was
Jamie.
Get out of here. Where the holy water? Get.
Jamie. Well. Before the podcast, you and I were talking and you indicated that next week more people are going to find out, or very soon people are going to find out about what happened back at Liam and Hope's wedding. What are your thoughts on the fallout from the birth and as Bill's lies unravel?
Oh, bother the war. I mean, it's a little, you know, I don't feel these revelations, what are they going to do? You know, Is Liam suddenly going to go, oh, my God, my dad manipulated my life. Now I have to really man up and pick one girl? No.
No.
He's going to have a shocked look in his puka shell necklace, and then he's going to go kiss Katie. I mean, not Katie. Then he's going to go kiss Jesse. Then he's going to go kiss Hope. Then he's going to go kiss Hope, and then he's going to go – I mean, Archie is never going to choose between Betty and Veronica. And I don't think this is going to have any – and the fact that Donna is going to be the one discovering it all, I'm like, why is Donna still on this show? Now, that's right. Somebody, the way you feel about Kelly Sullivan, I'm like.
See, I don't mind Donna as much now because you very, very rarely see her. But back when she was getting as much screen time as Kelly Sullivan's getting, I hated her just as much.
Be prepared because they already are planting the seeds with her and Eric having all these touching moments. I'm like, don't do it. Because you know Stephanie's leaving soon. And I'm like, please don't put Eric back with Donna. Just let Donna die. They need
let Eric die.
No, you shut your face. We lose a bridge and Eric.
Then tell me, what exactly has he contributed for the past 4 years on the rare occasions he shows up?
He's the patriarch. He don't have to do nothing but come in and say, I love you, my children. That's all he got to do.
Well, and fine, but I wouldn't have a problem with that. But if we're talking about another front burner storyline with him and Donna, no, he needs to die.
No, he does not need to die. Then said somebody who's only watched the show for 2 minutes. No, he does not need to die.
That, no, Luke, sorry. I mean, look, dude, I get what you're saying. I don't want to see Eric slathered in marshmallow jam or whatever if he back with
the honey the bear and the glitter.
Right. But my thing is, if you kill off Eric, it's going to have too much of a gaping hole on that
show. That's silliness. We don't even have to discuss that. They're finna get rid of Stephanie. They're not going to get rid of Eric, too. Like, they need to bring back Margot Lindley for him. Mm-hmm. And since Lauren Coslow is currently employed, bring on Colleen Zink as Margot, Stephanie's original rival. You know, well, Beth was the original, but bring on Margot or somebody.
Well, hell, they could bring Jackie back.
No, yeah. I'm all right with that.
So you'd rather have him dead than bring Jackie back?
No,
is that what you're saying?
Everybody was pretending it was a dead conversation. You're the only one talking
about it. Stop to kill the man off, please.
On that you want him dead. We are saying he needs to do something else besides Donna. Don't try to put no we up in there.
Let's talk a bit about
Thomas will be the patriarch of the Forresters.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem. I would not have a problem with Brooke being the matriarch of the show. Brooke
is ready to be the matriarch of nothing. Brooke is...
Listen, she's redefined sex in so many ways.
She's the sexiest
woman on that show still with all them little girls running around.
Did you see Catherine Kelly Lang without her makeup? It didn't even look like when they went on the talk. It didn't even... I was like, why is she on here? I'm like, is this... it was no shade against her, but I'm like...
Beautiful.
She looked gorgeous. I'm like, why are you on here?
I'm not happy about the fact that Brad thinks that it's time to move Brooke. When I read that in that interview with Michael Logan, it's time to retire, you know, for Brooke and Ridge. No. That is what got me hooked on that show. Brooke Logan is sex. She is the physical embodiment, the personification of sex. She should be having sex and often.
She's sexy and she knows it. Jamie, Days of Our Lives. I can't stand her.
I'm sorry.
Shut up, you new viewer.
All Reagan has seen her do is go, you need to pick my daughter.
I can't stand her. I really cannot stand her.
Go back and watch the old episodes on YouTube. You will change your story. You will change your tune, honey.
I have no time to watch old episodes on YouTube.
Jamie, let's talk about Days of Our Lives.
You know what? I can understand Reagan's point of view because when you're a new viewer and you come in, the worst thing when people try to tell you who the icons are, because I'm going to tell you, when I started watching General Hospital, and after all these years of hearing of the legend of Luke and Laura, all I thought is, why has this woman always got on a muumuu? You know? Supposed to be the one. All these Scotty and Stefan and everybody been fighting, but all the Cassadine men, and I'm seeing her running around dressed like Roseanne and hanging out with Mary May. I was like, wait a minute, this is not what I expected. I thought they saved the world and... You know, but of course, you know, she was a mom at that point, and I guess they were trying to, you know, so I immediately gravitated to the Brendas and the Lucy Coles and Monica. I mean, I fell in love with Monica because I want to be hoish when I'm old. And I was like, ooh, that's a hoish.
Are you old? Monica, Well,
you lived up to your dream, Jamie. Jamie, let's talk about Days of Our Lives.
That was good. That was good.
Luke Kirk won Jamie Gusek.
Let's talk about Days of Our Lives. This last week, Lucas went and had a talk with Adrian, and Will overheard it, and basically afterwards, Will called his dad a homophobe. Jamie, what are you thinking about how now we have Lucas, who started out being the person okay with it, to being portrayed as the possible homophobe in the situation?
Well, now that I've put down my Reader's Digest to try to read the summation of what you were saying, I am okay with this. I mean, the thing of it is, we didn't see hardly any. I mean, Sammy was the one who ran out the room, ran out of there like when Brady was chasing, when Kyle Louder's Brady was chasing through Salem Place. Come back here, Roman! You know, Sammy was the one that ran out of there like a bad woman. Lucas was all, I'm cool. You know, but I thought that was weird because, you know, I'm like, damn, I need a soap dad. I mean, these soap dads are so understanding. But so I'm kind of glad, but I fear for the purpose. I mean, because we want conflict, because in real life, the kids who are watching these shows, unless they live in L.A., San Francisco, or New York, you know, the kids in the Midwest aren't getting these supportive daddies when they come out. They're just not, you know, what the gay teen suicide wouldn't be the rate that it was if all of them were, oh, it's okay, son. Well, look, I'll take you down to the Sugar Shack next week and, you know, I'll help you pick out a boy. You know, I mean, that's not happening. I mean, yeah, there's a hand, you know, I'd get
exceptions to prove the rule.
Right. But, you know, but it is, but to me, this is more of Gary Tomlin and Chris Whitesell resetting a clock on what was already done, because Marlene and Daryl already wrote Lucas to be supportive. So now he's not supportive. I'm like, they're resetting everything that they don't like. And, you know, they didn't like writing for Lucas. So to me, this is like, oh, Lucas gonna be the homophobe, and so he's gonna have to go back to Hong Kong because homophobes got to go to Hong Kong. And you know, I don't know that, but I the way that the writing is on the wall, it seems like Brian Bertillo is about to get that mad ass for treatment again.
Aww.
Well, Brian Bertillo almost is as bad when it comes to Matt Ashford. He comes and goes because of various reasons.
It ain't various reasons. It's because the people who are doing Days right now have a very, I'm going to say it, kind of shallow view of who should be their leading men. You know, they don't want intellectual, witty Jack. They want Jennifer to be fighting over
Dr. Harry Man. What?
You know, one facial expression, hairy chest man. And, you know, Sammy already has Pretty Passions guy and EJ. So why do we need Lucas?
What did you think of that this week when EJ goes and basically says to Rafe, you give me Sammy and I won't throw your sister in jail?
I think that's hood. I'll give credit.
Hell yeah!
I think that that's good storytelling. That's an example to me.
That's a way to salvage it.
Yeah, and the Hernandezes are much more watchable when Gary Tomlin is writing the show because he created them, and I do feel that you know what Marlene and Daryl did with Rafe was totally out of character and stupid in my opinion, because all that, I mean, he was down for Sammy Jean Brady. He was down for the count. He was like, I don't care that you got four kids by five men. It don't matter. You is my woman and I'm going to cut for you and these kids. I'm going to change diapers. I'm going to teach Allie.
He was ride or die. Yeah.
So for him to just, you know, have a couple of moments in a freaking office where the air conditioning didn't work and he wanted to screw Carrie, I was like, that kind of seems a bit much. So I feel that they're getting it back to where they needed to be. But, you know, Sammy is one of those characters that, you know, almost like Erica Kane, that they just gave her so many different leading men at so many different times. It's like, if you never successfully put Lucas with another woman, and he's never had a successful parent outside of Allison Sweeney. He wasn't successful with Carrie or Chloe or any of the other ones. So he's kind of like stuck like Chuck. Now, I feel that there's a way for them to bring on another love interest for Lucas. I mean, that's not a Brady. Well, he can't be with a Horton, but it's like,
Chloe's coming back.
But she's coming back for a visit, and that didn't work the first time. I mean,
Well, Melanie finally said her goodbyes to Salem. Jamie, what are your thoughts on that? And also, what are your thoughts on the fact that Bo's endgame is sort of curious?
I think Molly Burnett is the perfect example of what soaps can do. 4 years ago, when she joined this show, I remember writing screaming headlines every other day. Who is this woman and why is she taking over Deirdre Hall's show? Because it coincided with Deirdre Hall being fired, which I now see that poor Molly was like, look, I just took a job. Calm down, bloggers. It's not my fault it happened at the same time. But
she said, if they're trying to write her more stories, then whatever.
Yeah. So it ended up, I feel that she's one of the perfect examples of what a great training ground daytime can be. Because she went from being one of my least favorite characters and actresses on that show to really being a young adult heroine for the ages on days, in my opinion. And I'm going to be sad to see her go, but I think she's one of those people that is smart enough to realize I'm booking all this primetime stuff. You know, let me go on out here now and spread my wings and see what's going to come up.
Is Kim Zim on that set? Because you know Kim always tells the young ones, get out!
Yeah, and I feel that way about a lot of them. I want Billy Miller and Michael Graza Day. I love them. You know Billy is my dog on that show.
Yes.
But I don't want – he's too talented for that show the way it is right now. Peter Reckle is leaving the Days of Our Lives, and it is because of budget cuts at the police station. This is the character that Boyd Hope went to England and helped fight off the dragon serial killer and, you know, doing all them battles on Stefano's Island and down on Oak Alley and Maison Blanche and everything else, and budget cut to go usher him out of Salem. I am beyond appalled and bored by this storyline. Why couldn't they say that there's a copycat serial killer mimicking the dragon's crimes in England? Why couldn't they say Billy Reed has been kidnapped? I forgot. Lisa Rinna walking around town looking. Well, anyway, Billy Reed is walking around town now. But Carly Manning got, you know, some of the Alamanes got a hold of Carly, and he has to go off and then hope find, you know, get a phone call in a week or so. Oh, no, Brady, you know, and then we just presume him dead. But budget cuts.
I'm really disappointed in this regime on how they're ushering him out. I thought Chris and Gary would have done something a little bit more original, but this is, it's kind of lame. It's like, come on, dude. Like,
you know how they ushered out, people keep on pointing out, we better be glad, because you know how John Black left this show in an adult diaper in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I'm just really disappointed. I mean, you know, y'all got fired the last time for doing stupid shit. This is stupid now. Like, I would have liked it to be something different. You know what I mean? And, you know, I guess, you know, I think to me, I'm taking it as wink, wink, nudge, nudge, budget cuts, usher and bow out. Is that what you're trying to say about Peter Reckle?
It's meta. They're like, you know,
yeah,
they're like,
it's not funny, dude. I'm like, y'all ain't funny. Russell Simmons ain't asking y'all to do Def Comedy Jam. I can see if y'all trying to do that, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, y'all could have cut them Hernandezes. Like, get the hell out of here. I just think it's lame. Gary and Chris is lame. Y'all lame.
Final topic real quick, going around the circle. What did you guys think of YNR's new credits? Personally, I thought it was lackluster. Mel?
It's pretty much the same thing except for new pictures. Like,
exactly.
Whatever. Like, that's what I think of it. I was all, oh, new credits, they're going to redo it and blah, blah, blah. It didn't do nothing but put some new pictures on there. I could have done that, but I digress. It was fine.
Jamie?
I felt it was underwhelming, but I am glad that they have the new pictures, because I was tired of looking at that one where Michael Grazadeh was like 15. You know, I'm glad for the new pictures, and I am glad that they didn't change it that much, because y'all don't understand. I still have panic attacks about my Crystal Gayle Another World theme turning into some broke ass ER.
Oh, God.
Jillian?
I'm just glad that they didn't go that route. I was really afraid that it was going to open with Victor. You know.
Well, I expected them to keep the same music, but I didn't expect the visuals to be the same. Jillian, what are your thoughts?
Jill at the helm? Shit.
Cartoon version. You know how they...
I was going to say, yeah, you good point, Jillian. Jill had to leave in order for us to get new credits on General Hospital.
You remember how they used to do it, Jillian and Mel, when it was basically like a cartoon, or not cartoon, a drawing. You know,
yeah, I remember that.
That was how I liked it. And Nikki used to come on with her hair blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
Even... And Mamie would be folding her arms.
Yeah. But see, this is my, you know, it was, you know, all that hype and pomp and circumstance for the whatever for that damn opening. And I was like, give me a break. It was, you know, I was happy to see my boy in there, my Killer Miller. But then I was like, damn, that's bittersweet, because, you know, he
He may be gone. You know what, though? I will say this, and because we dog Maria about how long it took her, but Bill Bell used to take forever to change that opening, too, because I still remember being mad as hell because Drew had gone through her transformation for years and, looked like a diva, Drew, but they still had that picture of her with them picketing in her hair. So it took forever to take that picture down. Drew would still have her hair tied up like buckwheat. And I was like, take that mess down. This girl got her hair permed, oppressed, or something now.
Well, we're going to take this mess down and wrap this podcast up. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook. And we thank you so much for listening. Until next time, so long.
I would be watching you, peepers.